Good question. When I was reading this over, I really thought about bringing in all the worlds, right? Like we have, like you talked about, the old Cambridge and very much the new Cambridge, which is a lot of the tech and those families that are coming in. And I think that this is what makes our city really great. And we need to think about how we are partnering with our tech companies to do shadowing programs and bring our students into those spaces. We need to think about how we are incorporating the diversity of all of our students into our spaces. And again, I think when in partnership with the community engagement team, that is really a critical place where the city has a great success record with utilizing the community engagement team to not only welcoming families into our spaces, but also thinking about the joy of rigorous learning from a culturally diverse standpoint. So I think what is really important is that if we can, I hate to use the word bridge again, but if we could bridge the opportunities for our young people to learn from each other and learn from their families. And so if it's STEAM, if it's from our tech programs, I think that there are great opportunities and ways that we can partner with parents and families and think about how we can learn from each other. And I know that in parents' lives, I mean, my mom was a single mom who worked two jobs. And so I know that her ability to be very much actively involved and engaged in my educational experience was very slim. And so I do want to put an emphasis to that it's not going to look the same for all of our kids. And I think that that's the challenge too.
So how do we do that? So you have a classroom. There's a student who is, let's say, two grade levels ahead and knows everything in, let's say, in math and knows everything that's on work. She's just currently being given worksheets that are just boring and ground. See, there's another child who is, let's say, a grade level behind and is given activities that are designed to try to get them to pass that grade's MCAS, which are developmentally inappropriate in the other direction. How do you see us addressing those sorts of issues? What should
Well,
happen with both of those kids?
you know, I think that in my learning and growing up here, I remember being in the fifth and sixth grade and being utilized as a student who loved learning and could be able to help my friends learn too. And it's hard because I don't want to separate our kids, but I think we can also utilize our own students in the classroom and partner up. So if you have a student who may be really strong in a subject area, how can they buddy up with a friend who may not be so strong and support them and support their learning on that math concept or subject? I honestly think that we need to have more teachers in our classrooms. And again, not so that we have the smart kids who are on grade level or two grades ahead over here and the, you know, students that are below on this side of the room, but how do we actually think about how we're working together on supporting the young people who are maybe a little far behind with the students who are ahead and not making it seem like it's us versus them in the classroom. So I think that we can really think about that kind of collective togetherness so that our young people don't feel like they're just bored with learning, but really thinking about, well, I'm helping my friend who, you know, needs this kind of support too. And they can be doing this at younger grade levels. It could start in our elementary schools. It doesn't just have to be, you know, because we have TAs at the high school level, and I talk to those students all the time who are supporting a teacher, supporting their classroom, supporting their peers. And that's something that I would like to see happen maybe in our middles and perhaps in our elementary schools if given the right tools to do so.
And elementary is really hard to do that sort of
I'm
thing.
sure. I'm sure it is. But we do have the young people who, if you have grasped all the concepts of math and learning and say you're on to multiplication. This was me in third grade. I was out for 9 days because I had the chicken pox, right? My mother would go to the school, get my homework, and I went home and I did my homework. She brought it home and I was doing it. By the time I came back to school, within 9 days, I knew all the multiplication because I learned it on my own at home. When I got to school, it was probably just on the four tables. So I was able to come in and utilize, and I don't remember what the skill set that maybe my mother taught me or maybe I just learned on my own, but I was able to, my teacher allowed me to work with my peers and kind of support help their learning and help them kind of, if it was a playful game that I did with like 5 plus 5, you know, the 5 tables or something, which is an easy one, or at the 9 tables where there's a concept to kind of learning the numbers, you know, you could plus this, subtract that, and that's how you get these the correct answer. I was able to bring that into the classroom, and my teacher and my peers didn't look at me as a know-it-all. They looked at me as just a helper and as just a friend who wanted to see them be successful too. So we could do those things. It has to be with the right intent and make sure that we're really, as teachers and as educators, supporting our kids to not feel like it's, oh, you're the goody-two-shoes, smarty pants, but this is our learning, this is our community. And some kids might understand certain concepts faster than others. So you might be fast with math today, and another pair might be easier to write a whole paragraph and have no mistakes, right?
There are big differences. There are especially big differences with neurodiversity. If you have a child, especially with dyslexia, autism, similar, especially in the context of autism, there are often kids who are very many...
far on the spectrum,
ahead in one area and very far behind in others.
Yes, and so I think that's a great point, right, in thinking about how we service our young people of those different learning styles and abilities in our classroom spaces, and how do we work together so that young people don't feel left out, they don't feel, although they might be a little bit slower on understanding something, they don't feel less than in that process. It's okay to be, for a concept to be slower for you to understand it. That's perfectly fine. And if we can utilize our classroom makeup, if we can have more teacher on the ground to really service our students, I think in those ways we will be able to really have a better, robust learning community.